ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः Tattvabodha, the name of the text itself tells the subject matter of the textbook. Knowledge of the truth is the name of the book, and subject matter of the book also is nothing but the knowledge of the truth. I said, we have original textbook called Shruti Prasthanam, which otherwise called Upanishads, obtaining and the end portion of the Veda, Vedanta Shastram. We also have Smriti Prasthanam, Bhagavad Gita, which is a part of Mahabharatam epic. Then we have Nyaya Prasthanam, analytical study of the Upanishadic mantras, as called Brahma Sutras. And we are not studying Shruti or Smriti or Nyaya. To study Nyaya Prasthanam, the analytical study, that is called a Mimamsa Shastram, we must have already studied the Upanishads to do Brahma Sutras. How can we analyze the mantras if we do not know what the mantras are? For Nyaya Prasthanam, as called analytical study of the mantras, in terms of study of Brahma Sutras, is only after studying the Upanishads. But here we are not studying the Shruti or Smriti or Nyaya, but we are studying the Prakarana Grantaha, Vedantic manual, which presents the same teaching without any distortion, which means just by studying this Prakarana Grantaha, we can get the essence of the Shruti Smriti teachings. And I said, the Sattva Bodha is a small textbook wherein all the important topics of Vedanta are covered. And the author of this book has not mentioned his name in the book. But we can only make out that this author must be the disciple of a teacher who comes in the lineage of Indra Saraswati order of Kanchi Math. Well, we saw the very opening verse, wherein the teacher invokes the grace of the Lord in the form of his own teacher. And there he mentions the name of the teacher. Therefore we make out he must have been the disciple of a teacher who comes in the lineage of Kanchi Math. And with that brief understanding of what we have already understood, let us continue with our text. Om Vasudevendra Yogendram Natva Jnana Pradam Gurum Vasudevendra Yogendram Natva Jnana Pradam Gurum Mumukshunam Hitarthaya Tattva Bodho Vidhiyate Mumukshunam Hitarthaya Tattva Bodho Vidhiyate. I mentioned last class that no work is begun in Vedic tradition without invoking the grace of the Lord, because whatever we begin, we need to get it completed. And completion, successful completion of any endeavor is possible only if we have grace of the Lord. We can make our own efforts. Of course, our efforts are very, very important. In beginning anything, to begin something, our efforts are involved. Our efforts are important. To continue to do what we have begun, our efforts are important. And to complete, successfully complete also, our efforts are very, very important. In Sanskritam, the word prayatnaha is very important. Prayatnaha, the root is yat, yatate, is the verb atmanepadam. Yatate, prayatate. Yatate means makes efforts. Prayatate means prakarshena yatate. Definitely a person makes up the best of his ability. The person makes appropriate, adequate efforts. Prayatate. And prayatnaha means appropriate, adequate effort on the part of the person who wants to achieve something. So prayatraha is important, but without effort, no success can be accomplished, nothing can be accomplished. But the question is effort itself enough to accomplish something? Without effort, nothing can be achieved. But effort itself is not enough to achieve something. Along with the effort, what we need is grace. Daivanugraha. Daivam or anugraha or daivanugraha or Ishvara Kripa, Bhagavat Kripa. We definitely need Bhagavan's grace. Success is possible. Anything can be accomplished only if grace is along with our efforts. So prayatnaha, then anugraha, together will bless us with accomplishment of anything in a given period of time. So time also is important here. So prayatnaha, daivam, kalaha. We use the term daivam, anugraha, or grace. Prayatnaha, effort. Daivam, or anugraha, grace. Then kalaha, time. We have to wait for the time also. Three factors are involved in achieving anything. Therefore, do you begin everything with a prayer? And what about writing a textbook? An author being a great Vedic scholar, of course, he cannot begin his text without a prayer. So the first verse wherein we invoke the grace of the Lord is known as benedictory verse, Mangala Vachakaha Shlokaha. And here, he doesn't invoke the Lord specifically in any other form, and he invokes the grace of the Lord in the form of his own teacher. It is possible for one to relate to one's own teacher as the Lord. Other person may not be able to see your teacher as Ishvara, but if you relate to the teacher, and it is possible for you as a student to relate to the teacher as Ishvara. Because as his disciple, as a student, one must benefit from the teaching. One must find the teaching being non-contradictory. The teaching does not contradict one's reasoning. And as the teaching progresses, there's always clarity and enhances. So these are the factors that the teaching itself invokes trust. That is how a student can gradually discover the teacher in a person. And the person has really enjoyed the benefit of the teaching. And he understands, in the light of the understanding of the teaching, it is possible for the student to relate to the student teacher as Bhagavan. His own teacher can become an altar wherein he can invoke the grace of the Lord the whole. Therefore, we see here, in the last class we saw, he says, Jnana Pradam Gurum Natva, having bowed to the teacher, the bestower of knowledge, and who is exalted among the wise people, Yogindraha, and whose name must have been Vasudevendra Saraswati, Vasudevendraha. So he says, this Tattva Bodha, the textbook Tattva Bodha, which serves as a Vedantic manual, as a means of knowledge of the truth, is presented having bowed to the teacher, Vasudevendra. The bestower of knowledge and who is exalted among wise people. So in the first line, the teacher talks about the greatness of his teacher. This Vasudevendra, the author's teacher's name is Vasudevendra. And he says in his own words, he says he's a Yogindraha. Yogishu Indraha, Yoginam Indraha. Yogi means a wise person, a jnani. And he is exalted among all the wise people. And he is the bestower of this, the bestower of knowledge, Jnana Pradaha, Guruhu. So Jnana Pradam Gurum Natva Tattva Bodha Abhidhiyate. The textbook is presented here, which we have already seen. So every day we have to recite this verse. Even though Vasudevendra is the name of the teacher, name of the guru, of the author of the textbook, Vasudevendra also is the name of the Lord. Like Vasudevaha is the name of the Lord. The one who is shining in the form of the whole. If you say Lord is the one who is in the form of everything, who is shining in the form of everything. So Vasudevaha also means the Lord, name of the Lord also. Therefore, it's appropriate for the teacher, the author of the book, to use the name Vasudevendra, which happens to be the name of his own teacher, is also the name of the Lord. Okay. Then we entered into the opening sentence of the textbook last class. Let us read that verse again. Read those words. Sadhana chatushtaya sampanna adhikarinam moksha sadhana bhutam tatva viveka prakaram vakshyamaha. Sadhana chatushtaya sampanna adhikarinam moksha sadhana bhutam tatva viveka prakaram vakshyamaha. I explained last class, vakshyamaha is a first person plural verb, future tense verb. Vakshyamaha, we shall speak, we shall tell, we shall explain. Which means we are going to explain. Even though the teacher says we, the teacher is singular, one person, but he uses the expression vakshyamaha, plural word. Why he is using plural? The teacher is a singular person. Why is he using the plural verb? Instead of saying I shall explain, why does she say we shall explain? Because whenever a traditional teacher says anything or teaches anything, he cannot claim any teaching he gives as his own. He had understood the teaching from another teacher and he is only reproducing the teaching what he has already got from another teacher. He has got the teaching from another person, another teacher. Now, other teacher had clarity of vision, clear vision, and he has transferred his vision through his teaching. And now the present teacher also has the clear vision that he can transfer his vision. He can give vision to another person. So, the teacher who is teaching has the clear vision or has the clear understanding, has the teaching, and the teaching he imparts, but it's not his own, this his own teaching. Yeah, his own. He cannot claim it as his own. This teaching which which has given him the clarity has been got from another teacher. Another teacher has got it from other teacher. Other teacher has got it from his teacher. Like that, if we try to trace the source of knowledge, there's always another teacher. Always another teacher. Therefore, the teaching is not his own. He cannot claim the teaching as his own teaching. Even though he is teaching, has understood the teaching, has got the clear vision of clear vision. No, he is imparting knowledge, but is not, he cannot claim as his own. He can only say what he has received from his teacher and he is now passing it on to another student. Another student who is receiving also in future can become another teacher. Therefore, whenever the teacher says something, it is not that he alone says as his own. He just shares the wisdom, the clear clarity of vision, which has got from the parampara, from the lineage of teachers. Therefore, he says, whenever he says, we shall explain, what he says is, what I'm going to explain is actually, it has been already explained by other teachers in the parampara, in the lineage. Therefore, he uses the term plural. Vakshyamaha, we shall explain. What shall we explain? He says, the prakaraha, the mode of discerning the truth, the mode of discerning the reality from what it is not. We can also say, we shall explain the method of analyzing the nature of one's own self or nature of the truth. We shall explain the method of inquiry into the nature of reality. So, Tattva Viveka Prakaraha means the mode of discerning the reality, the method of analyzing the nature of reality, the method of inquiry into the nature of the reality. Sattva Viveka Prakaraha. And why should we inquire into the nature of the reality? Why should we discern the reality? Why should we analyze the nature of reality? Because analysis of the nature of reality will bless us with the knowledge of the reality. Inquiry into the nature of the reality will bless us with the knowledge of the reality. An inquiry into the nature is supposed to bless us with the knowledge. Now the question is asked, okay, inquiry into the nature of reality is for knowing the reality, and knowledge of the reality is the means, is in the form of the means of attainment of freedom. Knowledge is the means of attainment of freedom or discovery of freedom. Moksha sadhana bhutam. So inquiry is for knowledge. Knowledge is for freedom. Knowledge is the means for accomplishing the freedom. And freedom is an absolute, ultimate, choiceless, common human goal. You made it very clear? So, moksha sadhana bhutam tattva viveka prakaram vakshyamaha. Then we say, but this method of analyzing the nature of reality, the mode of discerning the self, the method of inquiry into the nature of this reality is for those who are eligible, those who are qualified for the attainment of knowledge. So, adhikarinam. Only this methodology will be useful and effective only for those who are eligible, qualified, adhikarinam. Eligible for the attainment of knowledge, qualified for the attainment of knowledge. And who are the people who are eligible? Who are the people who are qualified for the attainment of knowledge? And for whose sake the means of knowledge of the truth, the knowledge, for whose sake, who are the adhikaris here? It is that sadhana chatushtaya sampannaha eva adhikari. Sadhana chatushtaya sampanna adhikari. Sampannaha is adhikari. Sampannaha means the one who is endowed with. one who has. Sampannaha. Sampanna is participle. You know. But sampannaha, when you put visarga, it becomes adjective. Sampannaha, the one who is endowed with, one who is qualified. Adhikari is the qualified. One who is endowed with what? Sadhana chatushtaya. I already said chatushtayam means a set of four. Chatvari four. Chatvaraha four. Chatasraha four. Which you learnt in language class. But chatushtayam means a set of four. So sadhana chatushtayam means a set of four fold qualifications. Sadhanam means the means. But here the qualifications serve as means of attainment of knowledge. Therefore, they are also known by the term sadhanam. So sadhana chatushtayam means a set of fourfold qualifications. Qualifications to become qualified for knowledge. And knowledge is for attainment of moksha. Knowledge is the means of attainment of moksha. And to attain jnanam, there is a method of enquiry into the nature of reality. In fact, enquiry into the nature of reality is actually enquiry into the nature of one's own self. Therefore, this tattva viveka prakara, tattva vivekaha means enquiry into the nature of the reality, which means enquiry into the nature of one's own self implied by the term atma. So tattva vivekaha can be otherwise said to be atma swarupa vicharaha. Tattva vicharaha. Vivekaha can be taken to be vicharaha. So sadhana chatushtaya sampanna adhikarinam moksha sadhana bhutam tattva viveka prakaram vakshyamaha. In one sentence the teacher tells so much. I'm sure you all have understood. Now, so now nobody should have any doubt about what are we going to study in this textbook. We should know very definitely we are going to understand the method of inquiring into the nature of reality. By studying the textbook Tattva Bodha, we are going to understand the method of inquiry into the nature of reality. By inquiring into the nature of reality, we are going to attain the knowledge of reality. And attainment of knowledge of reality is the only means of discovering freedom, attainment of freedom. Moksha sadhana bhutam. But the inquiry into the nature of reality, attainment of knowledge presupposes qualifications. So the teacher says that the method itself is going to be explained for those who are eligible for attainment of knowledge. And we will be wondering who are the qualified people, who are the adhikaris. So he says sadhana chatushtaya sampannaha. The eligible people are those who endowed with fourfold qualifications. Okay. Now we go to the next. When the teacher says this, immediately the student wants to know every meaning of every word, what the teacher said. exactly like us. You know, I tell you one secret. I should mention this to you. When Pooja Swamiji was asked to teach in Chinmaya Mission, the very beginning, to train brahmacharis to become teachers, future teachers, and he had to create this module, how to teach, you know, this, the new brahmachari, how to train them into become teachers. They have to understand, they have to have clarity, then they have to become teachers. Those days they're very strict, and only those who are going to become sannyasis were taken for courses. But nowadays, Vamanji was very flexible later on. And he wanted to teach something very, very simple and small, where he can introduce the whole teaching. And he Swamiji found this book, Sattvabodha. In fact, Swamiji popularized this book by introducing this book for the syllabus. He popularized this book, Sattvabodha. Anyway, so here the question comes. In this, the whole sentence, whatever the teacher said, the author says, and there's a doubt, so many doubts. So first question is what? What is the first sentence? Sadhana chatushtaya sampanna adhikarinam. For those people who are qualified, eligible with the fourfold qualifications. When he said, immediately the student wants to know what those fourfold qualifications are. So what the first question comes now? See the now. Sadhana chatushtayam kim. Sadhana chatushtayam kim. And here, because the question is asked and the answer also is given, we can make out the teaching is in the form of a dialogue. Generally, Vedantic teaching is always in the form of a dialogue. Okay, the question is asked by a student and the teacher has to give the answer. And the teacher student cannot ask a question something irrelevant. He only asks a question based on whatever the teacher tells. The teacher said, sadhana chatushtaya sampanna adhikarinam. This mode of discerning the truth, the method of analyzing the nature of reality, in order to attain knowledge of the truth, which only means of attaining moksha, is going to be explained for those who are qualified. When he said, the first question comes to the student is what? What are those fourfold qualifications? See the question now, next question. Sadhana chatushtayam kim? Sadhana chatushtayam kim? I'm very glad you all know this word kim. You all know very well, kim means what? Even Rickleman understood very well. Kim means what? And sadhana chatushtayam. Chatushtayam, a set. Singular word. Chatushtayam, a set of four qualifications. So what is that? What is a set of fourfold qualifications? The question is not asked in plural, okay? The question is in singular word. Sadhana chatushtayam kim? What is a set of fourfold qualifications? What implies is, what are the fourfold qualifications? So sadhana chatvari sadhanani kani. Chatvari sadhanani kani. What are the fourfold qualifications? This is how the question must have been asked. Chatvari sadhanani kani. Instead of asking the question plural, the student is using the same teacher's own words. Sadhana chatushtayam kim. What is a set of fourfold qualifications? Therefore, we can understand the first topic in this whole book, which we are going to understand, is the fourfold qualifications required for the attainment of knowledge. Now we can understand, because the qualifications are discussed, we can make out, by understanding the qualifications, we can make out whether we are qualified for jnanam or not. And once we know we are not qualified, we should not miss the class. We should decide, okay, I am not qualified. I should become qualified. I should make all possible efforts to become qualified. And if you think you are qualified, fantastic. And you must not miss the class. Okay. That is why qualifications are discussed first. So the first topic of Tattvabodha is what? The qualifications required on the part of any spiritual aspirant who aspires for knowledge. Okay. See the first now. Nitya nitya vastu vivekaha. I'm simply reading it like it's a prose, simple prose. Nitya nitya vastu vivekaha. Just understand literal meaning first. Nitya nitya vastu vivekaha. Then, iha mutrartha palabhoga viragaha. Samadhi shatka sampattihi. Mukshutvam cha iti. Mukshutvam cheti. I'm repeating it. Nitya nitya vastu vivekaha. Number one qualification. First qualification we need for the attainment of knowledge is nitya nitya vastu vivekaha. Second qualification is iha mutrartha phalabhoga viragaha. Third qualification is samadhi shatka sampattihi. And the fourth one is mukshutvam cheti. Literal meaning. Okay. Let us break this now. Nitya anitya vastu. Nitya anitya vastu. Vivekaha. Nitya anitya vastu vivekaha. Nitya anitya vastu vivekaha. Nitya anitya nitya vastu vivekaha. Okay, let us take that first, understand that first. The first qualification, what is that we should know? What is that we should have to be a real spiritual aspirant? To become a spiritual person, to be committed to the pursuit of knowledge. To have knowledge is the ultimate priority. The first thing a person should know is, should have is the vivekaha. So here vivekaha means discriminative understanding. Of what? Discriminative understanding of nitya and anitya vastu. So discriminative understanding of what is real and what is not real. What is permanent and what is not permanent. What is eternal and what is ephemeral. So there must, one must have the clear, 100% doubt-free, clear vision of what is absolutely real, what is real, what is not real, what is permanent, what is impermanent. One must have this discriminative understanding. Only then desire for knowledge itself is possible. Therefore, nitya anitya vastu vivekaha. So earlier I said vivekaha means enquiry, vicharaha. Vivekaha actually means discerning, discriminative understanding. Discriminative understanding implies clear vision, doubt-free ascertained vision. In fact, if we can think clearly without any confusion, the capacity to think clearly without any confusion itself is a very important factor. The clear vision means being endowed with the clear vision, or be endowed with the discriminative understanding of what is real, what is not, what is permanent, what is not. If this understanding is there, then what is the benefit of having the discriminative understanding? See, one can remain unafflicted, one can remain unaffected, one can remain absolutely tranquil minded, irrespective of whatever the external situation is. However chaotic the situation is, whatever is external situation, in spite of the situations being wrong and bad, still one can remain unafflicted, unaffected. Any situation. So this unafflictedness is possible. One can remain calm and relaxed, whatever situation. Without any agitation, one can remain calm. Even in worst of situations, is possible only if a person has clear vision, clear understanding of what is permanent, what is not permanent. So a person knows what is permanent. We're going to see that later on again. So it's very important to have, first of all, discriminative understanding of what is permanent, what is impermanent. Only then we will aspire for what is permanent. Then we will grow out of, naturally we'll become disinterested in impermanent. The problem now is, why are we not interested in permanent thing? We are not interested in permanent because we do not know what is permanent. We are interested in everything impermanent because we do not know how they are impermanent. The viveka is there. Then effortlessly we will grow out of desire for anything impermanent. Naturally, we will be become committed to the pursuit of what is permanent. Therefore, as even to aspire for the permanent is possible only if you know what is permanent. Therefore, here the author says the first qualification of one must have is if you are a mumukshu, if you are a jignyasu, if you are desirous of accomplishing moksha, if you are committed to the pursuit of knowledge, what is the first thing you should know is you must be 100% clear what is eternal, what is permanent and what is time bound. But he says, nitya anitya vastu vivekaha. We are going to see later on, again the student is going to ask, nitya anitya vastu vivekaha kaha. He is going to ask that also. So I don't need to explain. The teacher himself, the whole textbook presents questions based on whatever the teacher says, based on that there will be one question. So we don't need to work hard very hard. This much is enough here. So here we need to know what are the fourfold qualifications. Okay. Suppose if I know what is permanent, then I'll be interested in accomplishing the permanent. If I know what is impermanent, then naturally I will not be interested in what is impermanent. So to have appropriate priority, viveka is very important. Nitya nitya vastu vivekaha. So vivekaha means discriminative understanding of what is permanent and what is impermanent, what is eternal, what is ephemeral. Okay. Then we go to the next one. Iha mutrartha palabhoga viragaha. Iha amutra artha. Iha amutra artha. Iha amutra artha. Iha mutrartha palabhoga viragaha. So first word is vivekaha. Vivekaha, discriminative understanding. Now viragaha, also all masculine noun, viragaha. Viragaha, the neuter noun is vairagyam. Viveka vairagyam. Second is vairagyam is otherwise said to be viragaha. Vairagyam is neuter noun, viragaha masculine, same meaning. So vigataha ragaha yasmat. The one from whom the raga has gone. But here viragaha does not mean the person. Viragaha means vairagyam, the dispassion. First qualification is vaira, discriminative understanding. Now next qualification is vairagyam. Vairagya means dispassion. Dispassion towards what? Yeah. Iha amutrartha pala bhoga viragaha. Bhogaha means enjoyment. Bhogaha means enjoyment. Pala bhogaha means enjoyment of results. Enjoyment of results. Where? Iha amutra. Artha pala bhoga viragaha. So iha means here in this world. While living this life with this body in this world, there is enjoyment of pleasures. The amutra means enjoyment of pleasures even in higher lokas after the death. As long as we have physical body, we can enjoy pleasures in this world. This is iha artha pala bhogaha. Then after the death also, we can go to higher lokas and there we can enjoy the heavenly pleasures, etc. Because amutra. இஹ அமுத்திர இஹாமுத்திர. இஹாமுத்திர அர்த்த பலபோக விராக. அண்ட் ஹியர் இஸ் க்ரோயிங் டிஸ்பாஷன் டுவர்ட்ஸ் டிஸ்பாஷன் enjoy towards enjoyment of pleasures of this world as well as pleasures of other world, higher lokas, which means being absolutely free from the hold of addiction, being free from both likes and dislikes. Dispassion actually means freedom from the hold of likes and dislikes. It's called dispassion. It means once you are dispassionate, whoever has dispassion, that person cannot be enslaved by the enslaved by any sense objects. So dispassion implies being free from emotional entanglement, all forms of emotional entanglement, and being free from the hold of likes and dislikes, relatively. A person must have certain degree of mastery over his likes and dislikes. When a person understands, how does one discover dispassion? See, dispassion also has to be discovered. How can one discover dispassion? What is dispassion? See, naturally growing out of desire, growing out of likes and dislikes is dispassion. And one can grow out of desires, grow out of likes and dislikes only when we understand the nature of objects. We will not have either liking for an object or dislike towards an object. We can be neutral towards objects. We can be without liking or disliking for objects. Only we understand the fact that no object in the world, nothing in the world can give me what I am desperately searching for. What actually I want is moksha, freedom. What is it I want? Freedom. Moksha. And that freedom, nothing, no sense object can give me freedom. Because freedom is, bondage is caused by ignorance. And freedom is possible only in knowledge. Knowledge alone can free me from limitations. Knowledge alone can free me from bondage. My freedom is in knowledge if the person is very clear. That's why I said the Viveka is very important. If what I want is permanent freedom. And a permanent thing alone can give me permanent freedom. Anything time-bound cannot give me permanent freedom. The understanding of what is permanent and what is impermanent naturally will help him. Understanding alone, very important. Understanding of what is permanent, what is impermanent will help him naturally, effortlessly grow out of desire for impermanent things. So understanding of what is permanent and impermanent results in growing out of desire for things which are impermanent. That's called dispassion. growing out of desire for impermanent things. Why you're interested? Because they're impermanent. And what I want is permanent freedom, permanent happiness. How can impermanent give me permanent happiness? This understanding is enough. This understanding of impermanent cannot give me permanent happiness. Itself will help a person naturally, effortlessly grow out of desire for impermanent things. And it is the knowledge which alone can give me freedom. It is ignorance which is the cause of my sorrow. And the knowledge which alone can help me discover happiness. If this fact is very clear also, understanding of this fact is there, then naturally we will not have any dislike towards anything in the world. And there won't be any liking towards anything in the world. It's naturally growing out of likes and dislikes because of the understanding of the fact that no external object is responsible for my unhappiness. No external object is a source of happiness. No external object can help me accomplish what I want. No external object can really cause my unhappiness also. So understanding of this fact helps me naturally grow out of passion for everything here. This is called dispassion born out of understanding of limitations of everything in the world. That nothing in the world is permanent. If everything is impermanent, the impermanent cannot give me permanent freedom, permanent happiness. It's a fact, and this understanding itself helps one grow out of desire for enjoyment of pleasures, not only in this world, pleasures enjoyable even in higher worlds. See, we do not know how great and how nice the pleasures enjoyable in heaven, higher lokas. But Shastram tells you, without even going to heaven, without enjoying the heavenly pleasures, you can 100%, you can be sure, you know, any pleasure, anything enjoyable is time bound. Any pleasure enjoyed is time bound in nature. Whether it's a heavenly pleasure or ordinary worldly, this local pleasure. Any pleasure, any object, everything is time bound in nature because that is the nature of objects. Therefore he says, not only this person has grown out of desire, not only for the ordinary pleasures enjoyable in this world, this person has grown out of desire for pleasures enjoyable even hereafter death in high heaven. Heavenly pleasures. He's no more interested in any pleasure enjoyable in heaven or here. Does not have hatred for pleasures, but he is not craving for pleasures. There's no more craving. He is no more enslaved by his craving for pleasures. No, he has mastery. He has grown out of desire. He does not care for them. Why? Because he knows the impermanent cannot give me permanent. That's why dispassion must be born of understanding. Dispassion must be discovered through understanding. Without understanding, impossible to become dispassionate. How can I become dispassionate? Without understanding, if somebody becomes dispassionate, means not dispassionate, dispassion, it is frustration. When desires do not, when every time I make efforts, I'm not able to fulfill any of my desires, and then I give up. Okay, I give up. I'm tired of making efforts. I give up. Whenever we give up, does it mean we are dispassionate? No. When we are not able to face failures, and we want to give up. And such giving up is not because of dispassion, it is because of frustration. We should not mistake frustration for dispassion. Sometimes people think, oh, if I don't find a boy, why can't I go for sannyasa? No, it is not a solution, okay? Sannyasa is not a solution. So, dispassion must be born of understanding. That's why vairagyam implies maturity. Maturity implies understanding of the facts. So here, iha amutra artha phala bhoga viragaha. So dispassion towards the enjoyment of pleasures of this world and also pleasures of other worlds. The second qualification. That's why first he said viveka is always first. Understanding must be there. Only then dispassion is possible. Dispassion is actually expression of maturity. So viragaha. So artha phala bhoga viragaha. Artha phala means the pleasures enjoyable here. Iha artha phala. Amutra artha means pleasures enjoyable in higher worlds. Other worlds. Life after death. We do not know, but even if at all people talk about heaven, going to heaven now, so the viveki, the person who has understanding, discriminative understanding, definitely will not be in, not at all, will not be interested at all in enjoyment of pleasures of higher worlds also. Because any pleasure is time bound. This is second qualification. Iha mutrartha palabhoga vishabhi. Viragaha. Third one. Samadhi shatka sampattihi. Samadhi shatka sampattihi. I am not elaborating on them now. Why? Because the book itself is going to explain every word. We are going to see again what is vivekaha. We are going to see again what is viragaha. We are going to analyze each and every qualification separately. Okay, third. Samadhi shatka sampattihi. See, sampattihi means wealth. Sampattihi is a feminine gender word. Sampattihi. Tihi. Wealth, riches, prosperity, sampattihi. And here, what is it? A person must be endowed with the wealth, which is the third qualification. What is the wealth? Not the wealth as we think. Shatka sampattihi. Shatkam means, again, a set of six. Number six is shat. In Sanskrit class, I taught you ekam, dve, trini, chatvari, pancha, shat. Do you remember that number? Ekam, dve, trini, chatvari, pancha, shat. Shat means number six. Shanmukha, six-faced. Shat means six. Shat. Kam, like chatushtayam means a set of four. Shatkam means set of six. We have one stotram written by Adi Shankaracharya called Nirvana Shatkam. A text consisting of six verses. Sloka Shatkam is called Nirvana Shatkam. Shatkam means a set of six. work consisting of six verses is called a Shatkam. Now we say in Bhagavad Gita, we say Charama Shatkam, Madhyama Shatkam, Pratama Shatkam. Shatkam means a set of six. And here, Shatka Sampattihi means wealth of sixfold factors. What are the sixfold? What set of what? Set of six of what? Shamadi. Shama Adi. Adi means etc. He only mentions only one. This Shama. Shamaha is a discipline. Not only one discipline. We have sixfold disciplines. In the fourfold qualifications, third qualification is what? Having the wealth of sixfold disciplines such as Shamaha, etc. We're going to see that all separately. There are sixfold disciplines. We will know them. We are going to study them quietly soon. Shamaha, Damaha, Uparamaha, Titiksha, Shraddha, Samadhanam. What is Shamaha? What is Damaha? What is Uparamaha? What is Shraddha? What is Samadhanam? We are going to understand each and every discipline separately. But now the teacher introduces Shamadi, Shamam Mudaliya. In Tamil we say, Shamaadi Shatka Sampattihi, Shamadi Shatka Sampattihi. Once you have the discriminative understanding of what is permanent, what is impermanent, you naturally grow out of desire for impermanent things. And your passion will be only for what is permanent. Therefore, you discover dispassion through understanding. And once you have understanding, you have dispassion also. It is effortlessly you can follow these disciplines. So following disciplines with understanding will be a joy. And following disciplines without understanding will be burden. And here he says the sixfold disciplines. And if we are endowed with these sixfold disciplines, there's no greater wealth than being endowed with these sixfold disciplines. Because it is a qualification for accomplishing the greatest wealth in terms of knowledge, which itself is moksha. There's no greater wealth than freedom. There's no greater wealth than happiness and peace. Therefore there's no greater wealth than knowledge. And if we are endowed with these sixfold disciplines, and you can have the greatest wealth of knowledge and freedom. Therefore, the sixfold disciplines are also said to be the wealth. So Shamadi Shatka Sampattihi. So wealth of sixfold disciplines such as Shamaha, etc. Shamaha means mastery over one's own mind, one's own ways of thinking. We're going to see all the disciplines one by one. The third qualification. And what is the fourth qualification? Mumukshutvam. See, please, you're only introduced to the six, fourfold qualifications. We are going to analyze all the fourfold, each and every four qualification again. That's why I'm not doing much now. The fourth qualification is mumukshutvam. Mumukshutvam is a means noun. It is a noun actually. Having the desire for freedom is said to be mukshutvam. Actually, mokshaha means freedom. Mokshaha means freedom. Freedom from limitations. Freedom from bondage is mokshaha. Freedom from unhappiness, sorrow is mokshaha. And the desire for moksha is called mumuksha. Desire for freedom is said to be muksha. Mokshaha and desire for freedom is mumuksha. And the one who has desire for freedom is called mumukshuhu. Remember three words here. Mokshaha, mumuksha, mumukshuhu. What is the difference? Mokshaha means freedom. Freedom from sorrow. Freedom from limitations. Okay. And the desire for freedom is mumuksha. Desire for freedom is mumuksha. No. The one who is desirous of attaining freedom is called mumukshuhu. Mumukshu, one who has desire for freedom, one who has mumuksha is called mumukshuhu. And mumukshutvam means having the status of being a mumukshuhu. Having the status of being a mumukshu. It means burning urge for freedom. I want freedom. That one must be desperate to attain moksha. Sometimes people come to Gurukulam, you know. Somehow they come to know Swamiji, they come to know about these classes. Sometimes people don't get married, they don't find boys in time. They're good people. They come to Gurukulam because they don't know what to do, what else to do. Such people also come to Gurukulam to do the courses. But they, when they come and do the, because of punyam, they come and do the course and they study. And when they're studying, they really discover and they become mumukshus. And even after studying, they understand everything. They have a doubt. Do I really want moksha? Am I really searching for moksha? Doubt comes. I tell you, why people are struggling in spite of studying the Shastram? Because they are not 100% sure whether they have mukshutva. This burning urge for moksha, freedom. I want freedom. I want freedom. I should discover freedom. That, are you sure? You had, that is why the very beginning in every class, at least from 15 to 20 class, every class I remained this one word, Purushartha Nischayaha. Purushartha Nischayaha. Are you definite about the purpose of living this life? Are you 100% definite? If you are not definite, please analyze your goals again and again and again. What am I doing all these things for? What do I ultimately search for? What is it really I want through all my accomplishments? You had to ask these questions. You must be convinced of the fact that you are desperately, ultimately seeking only freedom from limitations, freedom from sorrow. You want to be peaceful. That's what we are searching for, peace ultimately. You must be 100%, you must be convinced. Purushartha nischeha must be there. Purushartha nischeha means definiteness about the purpose of living this life. What am I really living this life for? What am I ultimately searching for through all my achievements? Through all my relationships, through all my positions and possessions, achievements, what is it I'm really searching for? I must be 100% convinced. I must know moksha is my choiceless end. I should discover freedom. I want moksha. I want to attain moksha. One must have that, that burning urge for freedom, happiness, freedom from limitations must be there. The person who is endowed, who has this burning desire for freedom, is called mumukshu. And mumukshutva means having such burning urge for freedom is called mumukshutva. It is an important qualification. See, if you do not have desire for freedom at all, then why should you pursue jnanam? What is the purpose of attaining knowledge of the truth? Why should you attain the knowledge of the truth? Who will be interested in knowing the truth, reality? See, my interest in knowledge of the truth is because knowledge of the truth is the only means of attaining freedom. Without mukshutvam, aspiring for knowledge of the truth will be an academic pursuit. It will not become a spiritual pursuit. You must know the sambandha. That's why sambandha is always emphasized. Sadhana sadhya sambandha. Sadhana sadhya sambandha means the relationship, the connection between the means and the end. The connection between the means and the end. What is the means? Knowledge is the means, moksha is the end. Because I'm interested in knowledge only for moksha. If I'm not interested in knowledge, moksha, then what is the point of, why should I make efforts to know the truth? Now simply I want to know the truth. That's not true. Shastram says, without desire for freedom, the burning urge for freedom, if a person is interested in knowing the truth, then such interest is only for intellectual pleasure. It is not for spiritual accomplishment, spiritual development. No, not at all. Therefore, Shastram says, the attainment of knowledge involves, because here the truth is the subtlest, most abstract, very easy to attain jnanam. Not all difficult. And once you attain jnanam, it's very easy to discover freedom, because attainment of knowledge itself is attainment of freedom. They're identical. But the qualification needed to prepare the mind needed for knowledge, to prepare the mind for knowledge alone involves a great effort. Therefore, without desire for freedom, it's impossible for a person to have interest in knowing the truth. We're all interested in knowing the truth because we know the value of the knowledge of the truth. Because only by knowing the truth, reality, I can know, I can discover what happiness is, what fullness is. I can discover freedom. So discovery of the truth is discovery of freedom. They're identical. That is why discovery of the truth is said to be the means of discovering happiness. Therefore, for a person who wants to attain the knowledge of the truth, a fourth qualification is the desire for the serious burning urge for moksha. This is the qualification. If at all, please ask a question. If you are not interested in moksha and you are not qualified for the attainment of knowledge, finished. Oh, I just come because I'm just to pass my time, but I'm not really interested in moksha or knowledge. There are some people who come to the class like that also. Anyway, some punyam, at least somewhere they come. I tell you, sometimes people come to Gurukulam. Samji, you know, he just says, coming, what can we do? We have to let them. Because sadhu cannot say no to anybody. So they're serious aspirants. Sometimes some people come simply. Samji says, sometimes those are the people, they become troublemakers in the Gurukulam. They disturb other people because they're restless. They can't gel. Anyway, that doesn't mean they're not bad. They're not qualified. That's why what is it said here is desire for freedom. If you do not have desire for moksha, better you discover this desire for moksha. There is desire for moksha. But you must be convinced of the fact that you are desperately searching for moksha, and moksha is the ultimate choiceless goal. It must become very clear. Then you must see, you must discover the desire for moksha. Only then the attainment of knowledge is possible. Otherwise, commitment to the pursuit of knowledge itself is not possible. And how can you attain jnanam? You will not know the value of disciplines. So how can you live a life of disciplines? If you do not live a life of disciplines, you do not know the value of moksha, if you do not have desire for moksha, and how can you attain jnanam? Impossible. Therefore, the fourth qualification is mokshutvam, desire for moksha. So having desire for moksha is said to be mumukshutvam. You have to learn four words. Mokshaha, mumuksha, mumukshuhu, mumukshutvam. We're going very slowly, but it's okay. We'll know. Okay, let's see this now again from the beginning. Sadhana chatushtayam kim. Sanskrit students can write another question. Chatvari sadhanani kani. Sadhana chatushtayam kim can be otherwise asked. Chatvari sadhanani kani. What are the fourfold qualifications? Nitya anitya vastu vivekaha. Vivekaha means discriminative understanding of what is eternal, what is ephemeral, what is timeless, what is time bound. Permanent and impermanent. Then, iha amutra arthapala bhoga viragaha. Iha amutra arthapala bhoga viragaha. Dispassion towards the enjoyment of pleasures of this world and hereafter. Samadhi Shatka Sampatti, sixfold disciplines, the wealth of sixfold disciplines such as Shamaha, etc. We'll see next class anyway. Everything I'm going to see elaborately. Then Mukshutvam is a fourth qualification. So what was the thing the teacher said? He said, is going to be taught to the person who endowed with the fourfold qualifications. The student asked, what are those fourfold qualifications? And the teacher said, fourfold is, okay, Nitya, Nitya, Vastu, Vivekaha, etc. Now the student will ask, Nitya, Nitya, Vastu, Vivekaha, Kaha. What is discriminative understanding of permanent and impermanent? He's going to ask the question. And the teacher will explain. What is Vairagyam? What is Viragaha? What is Shamashatka Sampatti? What is Mukshutvam? I should not say now itself. Okay? I have to make you wait for the student to come back from his own questions. And the teacher will explain, then I'll also explain. Okay? Tattva Bodha student will ask the question. Tattva Bodha teacher will give the answer. Then I will also tell you the question and the answer. So you're only seeing first topic. We have totally, there are five important topics discussed here. The first topic is qualifications. So just stop with that. Okay. Now we have went to finish it. It will take time. Don't worry. But I want you to memorize whatever it's in the prose, the book in the prose form. Please memorize whatever lines we cover. And then however new you are to the class, don't worry. Keep on listening. Even if you find difficult to feel bored in the class in the beginning, try to be there. Keep on listening. Keep on listening. Just be in the class. Suddenly you will understand everything. Okay? Thirdly, things will, penny will drop. So don't miss the classes. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.